So we will study chapter 7th today, the 7th canto. So we will see how Prahlad Maharaj is the best among all the preachers, you know. He can learn the art of preaching, the conviction to preach, right, from Prahlad Maharaj. Text 1. Shri Narada Uvacha Evam Daitya Sutaya Prishto महाभागवतो सुरा उवाचा तान् स्मयमाना स्मरन् मद्लनुभाषितम्.
नारद मुनि सेड अल्दो प्रह्लाद महाराज वॉज बॉर्न इन फैमिली ऑफ असुराज ही वॉज द ग्रेटेस्ट ऑफ ऑल डिवोटीज हैविंग दस बीन क्वेश्चन बाय हिज क्लास फ्रेंड्स द सन्स ऑफ असुराज ही रिमेंबर्ड द वर्ड स्पोकन टू हिम बाय मी एंड रिप्लाइड टू हिज फ्रेंड्स एज फॉलोज.
Okay, so Narad Muni is telling the story and he is telling about Prahlad Maharaj. Now, but Prahlad Maharaj will speak what he heard from Narad Muni. So Narad Muni is saying, Maharaj, you still, thus Prahlad Maharaj being questioned, spoke to the spoke to his friend, what I spoke to the demigods. Right? So like that. Prabhupada says, when he was in the womb of his mother, Prahlad Maharaj listened to the words of Narad Muni. One cannot imagine how the baby in the embryo could hear Narada. But this is spiritual life. Progress in spiritual life cannot be obstructed by anything, by any material condition. This is called ahituke apratihata. And we had discussed that point previously also. Right? But we always try to choose a favorable condition. Right? Whatever is favorable, we try to accept. But here he is saying, even that condition, Prabhupada is saying, spiritual life cannot be obstructed. Right? Bhakti is ahituki apratihata. So we have discussed that how bhakti is ahituki apratihata. Right? That is the glory of bhakti. Right? But we have to understand our limitation and therefore accept favorable conditions. Right? Bhakti cannot be obstructed. But we get obstructed here and there because of our own conditionings. Right? Bhakti ko koi break nahi laga sakta hai, lekin humko koi chala nahi sakta hai. Right? Well, we get obstructed again and again. Right, because of our conditioning. So therefore we tend to choose the favorable conditions. Getting the point? Two separate things. This is from the perspective of bhakti. From our practice perspective, we choose favorable condition. Bhakti can flow in any condition. Bhakti can be practiced in any condition by anyone. Bhakti doesn't put limitation. But our conditionings put the limitation. Therefore we select a favorable condition. Like that. Text 2. Shri Prahlad Uvacha Pitri Pratishthesmakam Tapase Mandarachalam Yuddhodyamam Param Chakrur Vibhudadanavanprati.
Prahlad Maharaj said, when our father Hiranyakashipu went to Mandarchala mountain to execute severe austerity, in his absence the demigods headed by King Indra made a severe attempt to subdue all the demons in warfare.
Piplikairahiriva Ishtyalokopatapana Papena Papo Bhakshiti Nanto Vasavadaya.
Alas, as a serpent is eaten by small ants, so the troublesome Hiranyakashipu, who always inflicted miseries upon all types of people, has now been defeated by the reactions of his own sinful activities. Saying this, the demigods, headed by King Indra, arranged to fight the demons.
They thought Hiranyakashipu is finished. His body eaten up by all the ants. Teshamati baludyogam Shamaya sura yuthapa Uddhimana sura herbhita Udruvu sarvato disham Kalatra putra vittaptan Vittaptan grahan pashu prachadan Navyakshemana sturita Sarve prana paripsava.
When the great leaders of the demons, who were being killed one after another, saw the unprecedented exertion of the demigods in fighting, they began to flee, scattering themselves in all directions. Simply to protect their lives, they hastily fled from their homes, wives, children, animals, and householder paraphernalia. Paying no heed to all these, the demons simply fled.
So, as I said, the life is most dear than anything else. So they didn't, even their homes, wives, children, they left everything behind. Simply, all the demons ran for saving their life. Velumpan Raja Shiviram Amarajaya Kangshinaha Indrastu Raja Mahishim Hataram Mama Chagrahet.
The victorious demigods plundered the palace of Hiranyakashipu, the king of the demons, and destroyed everything within it. Then Indra, king of heaven, arrested my mother, the queen.
Niyamanan bhayudvignan Rudutim kururim viva Yadrichya gatastatra Devrishir dadrishepati.
As she was being led away, crying in fear like a kurari captured by a vulture, the great sage Narada, who at that time had no engagement, appeared on the scene and saw her in that condition.
Okay, so Prahlad Maharaj is telling how and when he heard the teachings of Narada Muni. He's giving the history. Prahanenam surapate Netumarhasya nagasam Muncha muncha mahabhaga Satimpara parigraham.
Narad Muni said, O Indra, king of the demigods, this woman is certainly sinless. You should not drag her off in this merciless way. O greatly fortunate one, this chaste woman is the wife of another. You must immediately release her.
Shindra uvacha Astyasya jatare viryam Visyaham surad Avisahayam suradvisha Asyatamya vatprasavam Mukshyartha padavim gata.
King Indra said, in the womb of this woman, the wife of demon Hiranyakashipu, is the seed of that great demon. Therefore, let her remain in our custody until her child is delivered, and then we shall release her.
Okay, so they are saying we have captured this woman only to actually to kill the child within her womb, right? To kill the child after the child is born, you know, not within the womb, but for that reason they capture. Shrinarada uvacha ayam nishkil vishasakshan mahabhagavato mahan tvayana prapsase samstham anantanucharo bali.
Narad Muni replied, the child within this woman's womb is faultless and sinless. Indeed, he is a great devotee, a powerful servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, you will not be able to kill him.
Okay, so Prabhupada says, the Lord in the Bhagavad Gita 9:31 says, Kaunteya pratijanihi name bhakta vanashyati. And Prahlad Maharaj is a vivid example of the truth of this promise. So Narada tells him, you won't be able to harm him, kill him. Iti yuktastam vihayendro evrisher manayan vachaha anant priya bhaktainam parikramya divam yayo.
Then Narad Muni had thus spoken, King Indra, being respectful to Narada's words, immediately released my mother. Because of my being a devotee of the Lord, all the demigods circumambulated her. Then they returned to their celestial kingdom.
Okay, so Prabhupada says, although King Indra and the other demigods are exalted personalities, they were so obedient to Narad Muni that King Indra immediately accepted Narad Muni's word concerning Prahlad Maharaj. This is called understanding by parampara system. Right? So this shows that actually Indra is a devotee of the Lord, right? Yes. Yes. Huh? Oh, he should live next to the qualities. So basically, with the understanding that he will be another demon, which was mostly true, right? Most of the, especially at that time and age, the son of the demon would be mostly demon. That was the genealogical trend was intact. You know, especially in other ages, most of the time the Varnashrama was following the genealogical trend itself. You know, the son of the Brahmana would be Brahmana. By default it would be accepted like that. But in Kali Yuga, the main thing is, but in Kali Yuga itself, there will be so many, everything will be disrupted. There will be no proper system working. Therefore, qualification is the main criteria in Kali Yuga, especially. Yeah, so they said he will create another disturbance for the world, right? Because even when Duryodhana was born, I think someone advised Dhritarashtra that you better kill him now itself, he's going to create a lot of disturbance for the whole world. Right? So like that. So if it is really going to create the disturbance only for everyone, right? Then it's better to actually kill him then. Right, this from at least appropriate from the administrative kind of from the science of administration and law and order kind of, right? Like that. Okay, so 11, right? Yeah, the 11th, we already said it. So they all circumambulated. He was dragging, but now they started circumambulating. Tato me mataram rishi samaniya nijashrame ashvastya hushyatam vatse yavate bharturagama.
Prahlad Maharaj continued, "The great saint Narad Muni brought my mother to his ashram and assured her all protection, saying, 'My dear child, please remain at my ashram until the arrival of your husband.'"
Okay, so Narad Muni gave shelter, Kayadu. Tatheti avatsid devrishe antike sakuto bhaya yavadyatyapathir ghorat tapaso nanivartata.
After accepting the instructions of Devarshi Narad, my mother stayed in his care without fear from any direction as long as my father, the king of the Daityas, had not become free from his severe austerities.
Rishim paryacharat tatra bhaktya paramaya sati antarvatni sugarbhasya shema yachcha prasutaye.
My mother, being pregnant, desired the safety of her embryo and desired to give birth after her husband's arrival. Thus she stayed at Narad Muni's ashram, where she rendered service unto Narad Muni with great devotion.
Okay, so she rendered various kind of services, from cleaning, making flower garland, whatever, you know, like that. So Prabhupada just points out that usually the rule is matra susra dhutrava na vivikta asano bhavet balvan indriya gramo vidvamsam apikarshati. Right? One should not be remain in a secluded place with a woman, even one's mother, sister or daughter. Nonetheless, one is strictly prohibited from staying with a woman in a secluded place. So Prabhupada saying, Narad Muni gave shelter to Prahlad Maharaj's young mother. Does that mean Narad Muni transgressed the Vedic injunctions? Certainly he did not. Such injunctions are intended for mundane creatures. But Narad Muni is a transcendental, Narad Muni is transcendental to mundane categories. Right? And then Prabhupada gives the example of Haridas Thakur also. Right, who allowed the prostitute to stay there, right, within his hut, right, in the dead of the night. But actually, then later the woman became a great Vaishnavi. Right? Therefore, Prabhupada concludes this toward the end of the purport by saying, Narad Muni, Haridas Thakur and similar acharyas, specially empowered to broadcast the glories of the Lord, cannot be brought down to the material platform. Therefore, one is strictly forbidden to think that the acharya is an ordinary human being. Gurushu Narmatihi. Text 15. Rishi Karunikastasya Pradadubhayam Ishvaraha Dharmasya tattvam jnanam cha mam pyudishya nirmalam.
He delivered his instructions both to me, who was within the womb, and to my mother, who was engaged in rendering him service. Because he is naturally extremely kind to the fallen souls, being in a transcendental position, he gave instructions on religion and transcendental knowledge. These instructions were free from all material contamination.
Okay, so Narad Muni gave instruction on dharmasya tattvam jnanam. The tattva of dharma and jnanam, which is transcendental knowledge. He gave to both. Mam api udishya nirmalam. But specially to me. I was a special, he knew the child is hearing more carefully, you know. So, Narada Muni gave those teachings. And his teachings were nirmalam, without any material contamination. Right? Prabhupada says, the word nirmalam refers to spotless dharma, spotless religion. Or in other words, Bhagavad Dharma. Right? And again Prabhupada says, towards the end of the first paragraph, the Lord Himself also speaks of the pure uncontaminated religion when He says, Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mamekam Sharanam Vraja. One must understand one's relationship with God and then act accordingly. This is Bhagavad Dharma. Bhagavad Dharma means Bhakti Yoga. Okay, 16. Tattu kalasya dirgatvat stritvan matu stirodade rishinanu grahitam mam nadhunapya ajahat smriti.
Because of the long duration of time that has passed, and because of her being a woman and therefore less intelligent, my mother has forgotten all those instructions. But the great sage Narad blessed me, and therefore I could not forget them.
Okay, so he said my mother forgot all the instruction. And Prabhupada points out, Prabhupada says towards the end of the purport, Prahlad Maharaj's mother was more concerned with protecting the child in the womb and was very anxious to see her husband return. Therefore, she could not consider very seriously the sublime instructions of Narad Muni. So, when there are too many material concerns, then the spiritual instruction doesn't stay. Right? Although one may hear, but when there are too many material concerns, then those instructions doesn't stay for long. Right? We just, after a short time, they are just washed away, like that. Another thing is, even if we hear, right, spiritual instructions, now here, Prahlad Maharaj says, Na adhunapi ajahas smriti. Till now they are, I am able to remember his teachings, doesn't mean actually that simply memory. It doesn't mean the memory. It means those principles which I heard from him have remained fresh in my mind. Right? So a very important thing, even if we are reading something, now we have learned the verses, we have learned the flow, the links, etc. The memory may go away. But the principle of surrender to Krishna, principle of rendering service to the spiritual master, taking shelter, right? Principle of executing bhakti with determination, those principles should stay. You know, it's not that the whole memory will be there with you. But those, we have to, the principle, now these stories are inspiring us to take shelter of these principles, principle of Bhagavad Dharma. Those should stay with us. That should be our aim. Right? So, and that will happen, that will also happen by the mercy actually. Prahlad Maharaj says, you know, that I am able to remember all the principles Narad Muni taught because I have been blessed by the mercy of Narad Muni. Right? So it's a fact actually that we should pray actually, even when we're reading the books, etc., to Prabhupada, that let these principles always stay fresh. Right? May I never forget these principles which we are learning from these chapters of Bhagavatam. Right? Text 17. Bhavatam api bhuyan me. Yadi shraddha dhate vachah. Vaisharadi dhi shraddhat shraddhahat. Stri balanam chameyata.
Prahlad Maharaj continued, "My dear friends, if you can place your faith in my words, simply by that faith you can also understand transcendental knowledge just like me, although you are small children. Similarly, a woman can also understand transcendental knowledge and know what is spirit and what is matter."
Okay, so so Prahlad Maharaj is saying, if you place your faith in my words, then simply by that faith you will also understand the same transcendental knowledge. Right? So Bhakti Lata Bij is actually the bij of Shraddha. The bij of Shraddha. So therefore Prahlad Maharaj is requesting them that have faith in me and surely you will also understand everything, right? Which I understood by the mercy of Narad Muni. And Prabhupada says, these are the most important understandings in spiritual knowledge. And Prabhupada quotes this very famous verse, "Yasya devi para bhaktir yatha devi tatha guru, tasya iti kathita hai artha prakashante mahatmana." Onto those great souls who have implicit faith in both the Lord and the spiritual master, all the imports of Vedic knowledge are automatically revealed. "Tasya iti kathita hai artha," in this Upanishad, this is the concluding verse of this Upanishad. Shvetashvatara Upanishad 6:23 is concluding, saying "Tasya iti kathita hai artha." Whatever is said in this Upanishad will prakashante, will manifest in your heart only if you have implicit faith in Supreme Lord and the spiritual master. Like that. So and Prabhupada says, in this word, the word bhuyat may be understood to mean let there be. So in one sense, Prahlad Maharaj is also offering them a blessing actually. Looking at how the verse is composed. So Prahlad Maharaj offers his blessings to his class friend saying, also become faithful like me. Right? And may you have your intelligence fixed on the Supreme Lord. May bhakti also arise within your heart by the mercy of Narad Muni. So he is invoking the blessings upon them. If you have faith in me, then may bhakti also manifest in your heart by the mercy of Narad Muni. So that is the intended meaning of Prahlad Maharaj. Prabhupada says, Prahlad Maharaj is saying, also become faithful like me. Become bona fide Vaishnavas. A devotee of the Lord desires for everyone to take to Krishna consciousness. And then commenting on the word Vaisharadi, he. The third line, if you see, of the verse, Vaisharadi dhi shuddhahata. The word Vaisharadi dhi refers to the intelligence concerning the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is extremely expert. The Lord has created wonderful universes by the expert knowledge. Unless one is extremely expert, he cannot understand the expert management of the Supreme Expert. So Prahlad Maharaj is saying, you have faith in me and then you will also understand the expert arrangement, right, of the Supreme Lord. Again, Prabhupada says, one can understand, however, if one is fortunate to meet a bona fide spiritual master coming in the disciplic succession. Okay, text 18. Janmadaya sadime bhava dishtadehasya natmanah phalanami vrikshasya kalene kaleneshwara murtinah.
Just as the fruits and flowers of a tree in due course of time undergo six changes, birth, existence, growth, transformation, dwindling, and then death. The material body, which is obtained by the spirit soul under different circumstances, undergoes similar changes. However, there are no such changes for the spirit soul.
Okay, so from 18 to 27, Prahlad Maharaj is giving them a DYS course, you know. Discover yourself that you are the spirit soul beyond the matter. Right? So like that. So basically the 10 verses are dedicated to understanding the nature of the spirit soul. Trying to understand that it exists beyond matter. Like that. So Prabhupada quotes this the parallel verse, na jayate mrite mriyate vakadachin nayam bhutva bhavitavana bhuya ajo nityam shashvatoyam purano na hanyate hanyamane sharire. Right? That while all the matter is undergoing transformation, spirit soul does not. Spirit soul does not. One nice phrase used in the text 18 is Kalen Ishwar Murtina. This Kala, the time is a form of the Supreme Lord. Vishwanath Thakur explains, because from time arises universal form of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, this time has been described as Kalen Ishwar Murtina. Or text 19:20. Atmanityo vaya shuddha ekaha kshetrajna ashraya avikriya so drighetur vyapko sangyan avrita etair dvadash bhirvidvan atmano lakshane pare अहम ममेति असद्भावम् देह देहादो मोहजं त्यजेत्.
Atma refers to the Supreme Lord or the living entities. Both of them are spiritual, free from birth and death, free from deterioration and free from material contamination. They are individual, they are the knowers of the external body, and they are the foundation or shelter of everything. They are free from material change, they are self-illuminated, they are the cause of all causes, and they are all-pervading. They have nothing to do with the material body, and therefore, they are always uncovered. With these transcendental qualities, one who is actually learned, must give up the illusory conception of life in which one thinks, I am this material body, and everything in relationship with this body is mine.
Okay, so Atma, here referring to both Atma and Paramatma, because the qualities are qualitatively the same. So the verse 19 describes three qualities in each line, totaling 12. Nityo Avvaya Shuddha, 3. Ekaha Kshetrajna Ashraya, another 3. Avikarya Sodrig Hetur, 3 again. Vyapako Asangi Anavrita. So these are the 12 qualities pertaining to the Supreme Lord and his part and parcel, the spirit soul. Etyer dvadash bhir vidvan atmano lakshanay pare. So an intelligent person should understand these qualities, and Vishwanath Thakur says he should constantly meditate upon these qualities. Why? To get free from aham mameti asadbhavam. Right? So therefore, one should not feel, you know, I know all these qualities, I memorized them, and I also got 95% marks in Bhakti Shastri. And where I lost 5 marks, I don't understand till now. You know. So he said, no, you constantly meditate upon these qualities again and again, and try to get free from asad bhav. Right? Of aham mameti. That's the point made over here. Okay, so therefore, by studying these qualities, one should learn to differentiate matter from spirit and act on the spiritual platform. Right? One has to act on the spiritual platform. One should know that material bondage is, material body is undergoing all these tribulations, and we are actually distinct. Therefore, I should not become too much disturbed. That's the Dehado Mohajam Tayet. The identification with the body, this illusory identification, should be given up by meditating on these qualities of the spirit soul or the super soul. Like that. 21. Swarnam Yathak. स्वर्णम यथाग्रा वसुहेमकारा क्षेत्रेषु योगैस्तदभिज्ञ आप्नुयात् क्षेत्रेषु देहेषु तदात्मयोगैर् ध्यात्मविद्ब्रह्मगतिं लभेत.
An expert geologist can understand where there is gold and by various processes can extract it from the gold ore. Similarly, a spiritually advanced person can understand how the spiritual particles exist within the body, and thus by cultivating spiritual knowledge, he can attain perfection in spiritual life. However, as one who is not expert cannot understand where there is gold, a foolish person who has not cultivated spiritual knowledge cannot understand how the spirit exists within the body.
Okay, so basically Prahlad Maharaj is saying that here in the process of Sankhya, just like the gore is there within the gold ore, it is mixed with many impurities, but one has to, expert geologists, understand and extract. Therefore, we have to understand the presence of spirit soul within this material realm, right? And extract it. Right? That means we have to become free from the influence of the material energy. Right? So that example. So Prabhupada says, here is a very good example concerning spiritual understanding. Foolish rascals, including so-called jnanis, philosophers and scientists, cannot understand the existence of the soul within the body because they are lacking in spiritual knowledge. Few lines, 2-3 lines ahead, Prabhupada says, unless one has been trained in geology, one cannot detect gold in stone. Similarly, unless one has been trained by a spiritual master, he cannot understand what is spirit and what is matter. Right? So this training, as we had discussed yesterday, in the training of a person in devotional service, there are elements of jnana. Right? So there is, this particular Prabhupada includes, one has to understand, right? But then Prabhupada says toward the end of the first paragraph, unless one takes shelter of the bhakti yoga process, one cannot understand the existence of the soul within the body. Right? But by jnana one can understand, right? Jnani can understand. Is it not? But jnana is included within the bhakti yoga process, as we discussed. Right? So Prabhupada brings about the bhakti yoga. And the realization on the jnana platform is not easy to sustain, actually. Right? We had discussed the tapsa, brahmacharya, and shamin, all those things, if they are not there, then the realization on the platform of jnana is not sustained. So again, Prabhupada, towards the end of the purport, says, I am this body and everything belonging to this body is mine. This doggish conception should be rejected immediately. Right? This is the purpose of cultivating the knowledge of the matter and spirit. Go to text 22. Ashto prakritaya proktas. Trayaev hitat guna vikara shodashacharya pumaneka samanvayat.
The Lord's eight separated material energies, the three modes of material nature and the 16 transformations, the 11 senses and five gross material elements like earth and water, within all these the one spiritual soul exists as the observer. Therefore, all the great acharyas have concluded that the individual soul is conditioned by these material elements.
So, maybe the word adhyatmavit word has been used. If you see the last verse, Prabhupada comments on that word in this verse. So the last line of verse 21. Adhyatmavid brahmagatim labheta. So adhyatmavid is who can understand the distinction between spirit and matter. Adhyatmavid. So therefore, here Prabhupada says, Prabhupada takes that verse from the last line and says, a spiritually advanced person can understand how the spirit particle exists within the body. And thus by cultivating spiritual knowledge, he can attain perfection in spiritual life. The intelligent person who is expert in finding the self within the body must understand the eight external energies. Right? So basically, Prabhupada again says in the third paragraph, this has all been properly analyzed in Sankhya Yoga by the great acharyas, especially by the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna in his incarnation as Devahuti Kapila. In the fifth paragraph, the material energy is in fact divided into 24 elements. So therefore, one has to understand, the point being made is that all these material coverings, right? One has to understand these material coverings of the soul in order to become free from these material coverings. Right? So which are the 24 in the Sankhya, 24 elements? Oh, start. Okay, one person says yes. Five working senses you are saying. Okay. Five tanmatras. Sometimes at places 24 are also 26 are given sometimes, two or three added. Actually, it's a categorization, separate categorization. But you, just to remember, I thought easy remembrance will be start with Panch Mahabhut first, five material elements, right? Then the three, intelligence, false ego and Pradhan, not the mind over here, not the three elements, subtle body, because the mind is put with the senses, with the master of the senses. So the five Panch Bhut, then the intelligence, false ego and the Pradhan, which is where there are modes in the unmanifest form. So sometime the three modes are mentioned separately, then it becomes 26 from 24. But usually 24 is the most common categorization. So Panch Mahabhut, then intelligence, false ego and Pradhan, these three becomes eight. 10 senses, Panch Gyan Indriya and Karmendriya and the mind, they together become 11. And then the five tanmatra, as I said, object of the senses, objects which are objects to be smelled, tasted, etc. Right? Those objects of the senses are five, so become 24. So 5, 3, 11, the senses and the mind 11, and another 5 is 24. So, Prabhupada says that, so one who understands that spirit soul, the 25th element, is apart from this 24, but related to the 26th element, which is the Supreme Soul. Right? He is a Dhyatmavit. So the 25th element is not related to this, 25th element soul is not related to the 24 material element, but is eternally related to the 26th element, the Supreme Soul. He is the Dhyatmavit. Right? That is the Sankhya philosophy. Okay, 23. Dehastu sarva sanghato jagattashtur iti dvida atraeva mrigaya purusho neti neti ityatatyajan.
There are two kinds of bodies for every individual soul, a gross body made of five gross elements and a subtle body made of three subtle elements. Within these bodies, however, is the spirit soul. One must find the soul by analysis, saying, this is not it, this is not it. Thus, one must separate spirit from matter.
Okay, so therefore one can separate the spirit from matter. This is not spirit, this is not the spirit, this all is matter. Right? Neti, 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 all 24 netis. Right? 24 times neti, keep them all aside. Right? Then you reach the spirit soul. But neti, neti doesn't bring you to the supreme soul. Actually. Right? So this neti neti process will not help you to actually realize the, especially the Supreme Personality of Godhead is filled with six opulences. So you can come to the platform of realization, the soul, but the eternal relation of the soul with the super soul is not realized in the neti neti thing. So therefore there is a limitation to this process. Yes. What is, why is he recommending? Oh, because jnana is a part of bhakti. And we discuss that bhakti has element of jnana. This jnana is a element of part of bhakti itself. Okay, so look, the whole thing is, what is the prominence in the Gyan Marg? They cultivate Gyan in order to become one with God. So they mainly, the main thrust is that. But bhakti has the element of Gyan, where you understand that you are the servant of God, you are part and parcel of the God. We should serve Him. And Bhakti Gyan has, in additional, a lot of the glories of the Lord. Right? So, but one has to understand that one is not the matter. Right? So this Gyan, this element of Gyan is part of the Bhakti itself. Yes. Yes, because neti neti is condemned, it is condemned that you don't reach the ultimate goal by neti neti. What is the use of this? What the point? This process will not take you to the ultimate goal. Right? And they have a mistaken goal also. They want to, by this process, want to become one with God. They usually take this process to establish spirit soul as the Brahman itself, as identical with Brahman. Right? So that is contempt. So, therefore you have to know that when something is condemned, what exactly is being condemned? Sarukhalado idam Brahman is a Vedanta Sutra. If you condemn the Sutra itself, the distorted meaning is condemned. Right, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Sarva Bhattacharya, he said, I can't understand, you know, what all you're saying. He said, oh, you're not able to understand any of the Vedanta Sutra what I explained. He said, no, Vedanta Sutra I understand, your explanation I can't understand. You know, so it's like that. So therefore, we see when we condemn, it is their understanding of neti neti. But the right understanding that yes, this is not actually the soul. This is not the soul, right? We have to Krishna also see. Look, that which is cut is not the soul. That which is dried is not the soul. That which is burnt is not the soul. What is this? Neti neti only, in one sense. But it's part of the ultimate goal is to separate the soul from the matter, and then engage the soul in the service of the Lord, right? Therefore, neti neti has its utility. This part is part of the bhakti. This elements of jnana are part of the bhakti. See, even the whole point is you have to understand. Even the right thing done with a wrong understanding is condemned. Got the point? You do the right thing, but with the wrong understanding, it is condemned. And sometimes even the wrong thing is done with the right understanding, it becomes glorious. It may not be the right thing to do as such, but when it is done with the right understanding, it actually is glorious. Right? Just for example, Jayadratha giving charity, Karna giving charity. Charity is recommended, but they want to give charity in order to for self-aggrandizement, to proving that they are great souls. That charity is condemned. Right? While Bhishma taking the side of a dharma is not condemned actually by Bhagavatam, because he understood the will of the Lord. That's the will of the Lord for me. Right? So even the wrong thing, when done with the right understanding, it is not condemned. It is glorious actually. There are so many, you know, even the Lord does kind of, Lord steals, is not condemned. You know, because he's stealing for the sake of increasing the loving reciprocation. Right? There are so many socially wrong things or whatever, you know. The devotee is giving up the lower dharma for the higher cause is not condemned. So basically even the right thing becomes condemned when done with the wrong understanding or with the wrong intention. Right? So therefore when all of these processes or the common sutras and etc. are condemned, it is their understanding or their final intention for doing that is condemned. Right? Like that. Okay, go to text 24. अन्वयवतिरेकेन विवेकेनो शतात्मन स्वर्गस्थान समान्यायर विमृशद्भिर असत्वरे.
Sober and expert person should search for the spirit soul with minds purified through analytical study in terms of the soul's connection with and distinction from all things that undergo creation, maintenance and destruction.
Okay, so so another point is said that actually one has to study the soul in terms of its distinction from material element, as we said, this is not, but also its connection to the material elements or to the material body. Because, said, if you say within the body, if you want to find the soul, said, this is not the soul. He said, though, if you reject the whole body as neti, 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 where will you find the soul then? Because the soul in the conditioned state is connected. Right? In the conditioned state, the soul has a connection with matter. Although the connection is imposed and it is temporary, therefore, simply neti, 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 nothing, he said, where will you find the soul? The whole body is rejected, neti, neti, neti. But the soul is in the body, entrapped. So therefore, one has to understand its connection also. But, so that is being said over here. So one has to study the soul in terms of its connection and distinction from all things that undergo creation, maintenance and destruction. Right? However, in order to understand the presence of Paramatma, one has to have a purified mind to go further. Right? Therefore, as we had discussed, so Baldev Vidya Bhushan has said important thing. He said, religious rituals are very important in spiritual understanding. For if religious rituals are not there, it will take lifetimes of speculation to understand the existence of Paramatma within the body. The Paramatma also exists. So therefore, by religious rituals, mind is become pure. And therefore, by the purified mind, we can actually then understand that Paramatma is also present within the same body. Otherwise it will take lifetimes, million lifetimes of speculation. Right? So therefore, this process alone of analysis without purification of mind is practically impractical, because it will take millions of lifetimes of speculation. You know? So therefore, along with, when we are trying to understand this distinction of the soul from the body, simultaneously there has to be a process for purifying the mind. So both go together, they assist each other. Like that. Yes. Guru, religious ritual, like people doing the deity worship, according to some people, even chanting the holy name, the people may say it's a religious ritual, but we do it. Although it's not an ordinary ritual, but people saying, hey, you go to temple, you chant some mantra, you circumambulate Tulsi Maharani, put the tilak, you respect, you go to the holy place, you respect the holy waters, right? So all these things which are done, like someone offering respect to plant, etc., is considered a very orthodox and primitive ritual, Offering respect to, worshipping of trees, kind of, they don't understand the science behind. So even if a person doesn't understand the science behind rituals, right, religious rituals, circumambulating the temple, circumambulating the deity, offering respect, just like His Holiness Dwamara Swami Maharaj was saying once, he said, some people who came, and they saw devotees chanting and dancing, and they liked it. They were able to relate to it, because in the club they have also seen. So they were able to relate to it. But then suddenly, Jai Om Vishnupada, everyone fell to the ground. He said, what is this? They could not relate at all. He said, why everyone is looking towards ground? Suddenly, what they are trying to find within the ground? What they are searching now, deep within the ground. They could not relate to that, offering obeisances. So it's a ritual, but that ritual is actually purify the person. Right? So there are so many such rituals. Now we understand that it's all spiritual because we understand the spirit behind it. But the point to say that even if a person doesn't understand, a child doesn't understand, let him do it as a ritual. So even that ritual gradually purifies, and then one can actually perceive this spiritual truth. Like that. So the purification of the mind is also necessary. Go to text 25. बुद्धिर जागरणं स्वप्ना सुसुप्तिर इति वृत्तया तायेनैव अनुभूयन्ते सोध्यक्षा पुरुषा परा.
Intelligence can be perceived in three states of activity: wakefulness, dreaming and deep sleep. The person who perceives these three is to be considered the original master, the ruler, the supreme personality of Godhead.
Okay, so the he said that one can perceive the function of intelligence in these three states of wakefulness, dreaming and deep sleep. In deep sleep, the mind is not active. Mind is only active in wakefulness and dreaming. But this deep sleep, he said, the intelligence is still there. The point made is, actually in the next verse, as we will see, that this intelligence is carried by the soul in these three states. Just like the air carries the aroma, right, wherever it goes, so the soul carries this intelligence which is perceived in these three states. So the jiva experiences these three states with the intelligence, right? He who possesses this intelligence is the jiva. Who gives this intelligence is the super soul. So the jiva is possessing the intelligence, but the Supreme Lord is the giver of that intelligence. Okay? So the whole point made is actually the soul is carrying this intelligence. The soul, being endowed with this intelligence, is experiencing these three states of wakefulness, dream and deep sleep. Go to text 26. Ebhistrivarna paryastar mistrivarna paryast buddhi bheda kriyodbhava sarupam atmano buddhye gandhair vayum ivanivat.
As one can understand the presence of the air by the aromas it carries, so under the guidance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one can understand the living soul by these three divisions of intelligence. These three divisions, however, are not the soul. They are constituted of the three modes and are born of activities.
So, again, this is the a little subtle point. Said, you smell something, and then you understand that there is a presence of air, because aroma, you cannot smell aroma without the air being carrying it. Right? The fragrance on its own cannot come from outside without the air carrying it. All the air is not visible. So therefore you understand the air is present if you smell some good aroma. Therefore intelligence is inert. When a person feels, I had a deep sleep, etc., and the intelligence perceived that, said that this intelligence is present in these three states being carried by the soul. Intelligence on its own is not able to perceive, actually. Right? So when you see the function of the intelligence, intelligence doesn't have experience. That's the whole thing. When you say, I had a good sleep, he said, actually the soul is experiencing, the soul carried the intelligence to these three states, and the soul experience. The experience is actually of the soul, right? Which is endowed with the intelligence. Right? So therefore, intelligent person should know the existence of the soul, although soul is not visible, by the function of the intelligence. Just by aroma one understands here. Similarly, the intelligence is functioning in all the three states, and we experience these three states, but actually the soul experience being endowed with intelligence. Right? So the soul is there present, and the soul is experiencing these three states being endowed with intelligence. Right? So that is the point. Yes. Yes. No, dreaming is a different state. You don't remember anything from the deep sleep. When you say dream is only when the mind is also active and the previous impressions are there. Right? So the intelligence also exists. But deep sleep is a state where you don't have any impressions, you don't remember anything of that. you only have an experience of deep sleep. I had a nice sleep. You don't remember anything else. Only the experience. I had a, you know, sound sleep. Means I am refreshed. So that therefore you only remember the experience that I really had a good sleep, you know. That. So he said that good sleep that is not experienced by intelligence, which is inert. Intelligence cannot experience. So the soul carried the intelligence in that deep sleep. And although it's a function of intelligence, but that the soul was carrying that intelligence. And the soul experience. The soul experience. That's the point. Because most of the time, experience is also connected with the mind. You know, mind is experiencing good and bad at the mental platform. So the point is given is the mind is not active in the deep sleep. Therefore, the soul experience. Therefore, the soul endowed with intelligence. The deep sleep intelligence is there. Therefore, you're saying it's a good sleep, you know. But the experiencing, who experiences is not the mind. Actually, the soul. Therefore, the soul is carrying the intelligence, just like the air carries the aroma, although air is invisible. So it's a subtle point, but probably again and again, Vishnu Thakur has explained at number of places. By contemplating upon it again and again, some understanding will come. Yes. Sorry. The even in deep sleep,
it's certain kind of radiation, like I think delta waves.
Okay.
So in different stages of sleep, it emits different kinds of waves.
Okay.
Sometimes alpha if it's sluggish sleep, or beta if it's REM sleep, and deep sleep it's delta waves.
Okay, the brain is emitting.
How do we reconcile this and the Shastric statement that the mind is inert?
Well, mind is different from brain in that sense. So the whole... they are only analyzing the matter. When we say mind... mind is not simply a brain, right? Mind is feeling something, right? Actually, the gray matter is not having any emotion in that sense. So what they analyze in terms of chemical, that itself is thrown out. But the mind is a subtle element which has a thinking, feeling and willing, right? So... the whole basis is different. They are analyzing only in terms of the matter, you know, and the rays and the waves and chemicals, etc. Right? But we understand that the mind is a higher element. Right? But reconcile. I am not exactly sure in what way to reconcile, because the whole foundation is different. You know. So, but it's mentioned that the mind in deep sleep is not active. Mind in deep sleep is not active in that way. Okay. So, 27. Yeah. Sorry? No, we are not saying intelligence is existing. Intelligence exists in all the three states. So not all aspects of subtle body are absent.
Intelligence is still there.
Intelligence is still there. But intelligence tells you that it was a good time, a good sleep. But intelligence in itself cannot experience that sleep. The mind is not active. Therefore, the soul endowed with intelligence experience. So the presence of the soul is inferred in this way. Just like the presence of the air not visible is inferred by aroma. So therefore the presence of the soul is inferred in the deep sleep. The soul experienced that good thing, which the intelligence is saying as a good time or whatever, you know. The soul experienced that good, not the intelligence. So like that. So it's that point is being made. Fine, so we'll proceed ahead. Etadvaro hi samsaro gunakarma nibandhana ajnana mula parthopi pumsa swapna ivarpete.
Through polluted intelligence, one is subjected to the modes of nature, and thus one is conditioned by material existence. Like a dreaming state in which one falsely suffers, material existence, which is due to ignorance, must be considered unwanted and temporary.
Okay, so the intelligence under ignorance imposes this body on the soul. Just as a dream is imposed on a sleeping person. So the dream is imposed on a sleeping person by the mind. Right? Similarly, the intelligence under ignorance imposes this body upon the soul. So, remember, Prabhupada would say, Krishna consciousness is not an artificial imposition. Right? It's a natural state of the soul to be Krishna consciousness. But this samsara, this material existence, this is the artificial imposition. This is not a natural state. The living entity is material existence. Right? That's a imposition of the intelligence influenced by ignorance, avidya, that imposes this body upon the soul. Okay. But this ignorance, remember, this ignorance is not exactly illusion. Because if you say illusion, then you can get free from illusion and then you should be free, you know. You know, ignorance is not exactly illusion. This is the energy of the Lord, you know, it binds. It creates illusion. But the energy, this ignorance, which causes this, which binds us, imposes this body, is the Shakti of the Lord. While illusion is something, oh, you thought this is not, oh, now I am comfortable, you know, now I understand this body is different from the, you know, the soul is different from the body. No, ignorance is not gone. It's not simply illusion. So therefore, this ignorance is very strong. The material energy binds the soul. It's not that just simply by understanding something you'll get free from. Like from any illusion you get, as soon as you understand, oh, this is not this. Oh, this is not the snake, you know, this is just a rope. Now you're free from that. But getting free from ignorance is not that easy, because it's the energy of the Lord which binds the conditioned soul. Right? So therefore, surrender to Krishna only we can become free from this binding energy of the Lord. And this binding energy creates illusion. We think, oh, what is what? No, we are in illusion. We misunderstand. We are illusion that we are the body. That illusion is created by the energy of the Lord. But the conditioned living, the condition is not simply illusion, that's the whole point. Right? Material energy is the illusion imposed is unreal, but material energy is real. Right? Your bondage is unreal, but the ropes are real, we had discussed. Did we discuss that point? Right? We had discussed? No, not with you. Okay, 11th canto, you know. He said, your bondage, you are thinking you are bound this material world, That's illusory, you know, the bondage is illusory. But the ropes are real. The energy which binds is real. Okay? So, therefore, to become free from it, one is to take shelter of Krishna. Okay, so we take a break and we will continue. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Ram Ram Hare Hare. Okay, so just the point we were discussing was that the energy of the Lord which imposes illusion is actually real. We call it illusory energy because it creates illusion. But actually the energy of the Lord is real. Right? Therefore we cannot become free or we say, okay, you come out of illusion. Right? That means begin the process actually. To come out of this illusion is to break the bonds of the material energy. Or we say illusory energy. Illusory energy because it imposes illusion. But it's a real energy of the Lord. Right? Mam maya durataya. Therefore, to become free from all the illusions, we have to break free the bondage of the material energy, which is the real energy. Right? Therefore, we need a process. Right? It cannot be simply by one's own mind and intelligence, one can break free the material energy. Right? It's a real energy, it's the eternal energy of the Lord. Okay. Text 29. Tatropaya sahasranam ayam bhagavato ditaha. 28 we didn't do? Okay, fine. Tasmad bhavad bhikartavyam Karmanam Trigunatmanam Bijanirharanam Yoga Parvaho Paramodhiyah.
Therefore, my dear friends, O sons of the demons, your duty is to take to Krishna consciousness, which can burn the seed of fruitative activities artificially created by the modes of material nature, and stop the flow of the intelligence in wakefulness, dreaming and deep sleep. In other words, when one takes to Krishna consciousness, his ignorance is immediately dissipated.
Okay, so Prahlad Maharaj in the beginning of the chapter gave the background how he heard the teaching of Narad Muni. And then in the 10 verses he told them how, first of all, one is to understand analytically that we are not this matter. We are not a separate soul from the matter. Now, tasmad, if you see tasmad. You know, so, what should be the conclusion of hearing the knowledge of spirit and matter, this tattva jnana which we heard? What should be the conclusion? Prahlad Maharaj says, the conclusion is, you should become a yogi. Join a yoga club. You know, he said, now you become a yogi. Begin the process of yoga. Yeah, he recommends yoga. Bija niraharanam yoga. But What kind of yoga Prahlad Maharaj recommends? Your duty is to perform yoga now, right? Which will burn the seed of material existence. Now all the yoga clubs, most of the time, most of the yoga clubs currently, their purpose is totally opposite. To increase the duration of material existence. So he's saying, perform the yoga which will finish off this material existence. Right? So Prahlad Maharaj is recommending yoga to be performed over here. So, in verses 28 to 33, this section, Prahlad Maharaj recommends performance of yoga, and then he will further clarify in this, says it's Bija Nirharanam Yoga. Perform that yoga which will destroy the seed of material existence. Then he will further explain that perform Bhagavad Dharma. Again he will come back. We already, what is already taught, come back to that. Perform that dharma which will lead to rati, attraction for the Lord. Okay? So after giving the knowledge of matter and spirit, now he encourages them to perform yoga like that. From 28 to 33. So, Prabhupada says in the sixth line of the purport, the root of ignorance is material consciousness, which must be killed by spiritual consciousness or Krishna consciousness. 29. Tatropaya sahasranam ayam bhagavato dita yadishvare bhagavati yata yairanjasaratihi.
Of the different processes recommended for disentanglement from material life, the one personally explained and accepted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead should be considered all perfect. That process is the performance of duties by which love for the Supreme Lord develops.
Okay, so he's saying, he said, Bija Nirhanam Yoga, perform yoga which will finish off the seed of material existence. He said, which yoga? You know, probably there are so many paths of yoga, so many yoga clubs, you know, which may, or Vedic yoga, all of them aims at that. Which yoga is to be performed? Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj is saying, Tatru Upaya Sahasranam. Actually, there are thousands of processes described, all ultimately aiming at, you know, finishing the seed of material existence. Right? Among all the bona fide ones now, you know, which is to be performed among all the bona fide recommended processes for this. Prahlad Maharaj is saying, I am Bhagavato Dita. Perform that process which Supreme Lord Himself has prescribed. Yad Ishvare Bhagavati Yatha Yair Anjasarati. Perform that which will proclaim the Supreme Lord and which will lead to development of Rati, attraction towards the Supreme Lord. Right? So Prabhupada would most of the time, you know, he said, okay, you want to follow your spirituality? We want to know how you are developing love. Prabhupada would not, he would say, oh, okay, we will accept any form of spirituality provided yatha yair anjasarati, that you are developing attraction for the Supreme Lord. You are developing love for the Lord. As long as that is happening, we are fine with any process that you perform. Right? Right? Prabhupada often give this criteria. Are you developing, you know, loving attraction for the Supreme Lord? So Vishnu Thakur says, among all the processes or among all the yogas, bhakti yoga proclaimed by the Lord Himself is the best. Other methods proclaimed by the other sages are inferior. And then he says that the main cause or the root cause for the development of bhakti is actually service to spiritual master. You say, but bhakti is causeless. Right? Bhakti is causeless. Said, but the main cause for the root cause for development of bhakti is service to the spiritual master. Now, how the bhakti is causeless? Because this service to spiritual master is anga of bhakti only. So, bhakti leads to bhakti. Bhakti causeless. Bhakti is causeless means there is no cause of bhakti outside of bhakti. So, therefore, service to spiritual master is part of bhakti only, which is the root cause for development of bhakti. So, therefore, bhakti is causeless. Right? So, that is explanation. Okay. So, this bhakti yoga, Prahlad Maharaj tells his friend, which leads to rati, attraction, that is the chief result. It produces attraction. Burning up of material intelligence and destroying samsara, it is just the accompanying result, actually. Right? That also one has to understand. An example is given. Bhakti yoga quickly destroys subtle body, just as digestive fire consumes food. Right? But that's a secondary thing. Bhakti destroying the subtle body or the samsara. Main thing is, main product of bhakti is rati. 30-31. Guru shushrushaya bhaktya sarvalabdharpanena cha sanghena sadhu bhaktanam ishwararadhanena cha shaddhayatat kathayam cha kirtanair gunakarmanam tatpadam buruhadhyanat tatlingiksharharadibhi.
One must accept the bona fide spiritual master and render service unto him with great devotion and faith. Whatever one has in one's possession should be offered to the spiritual master, and in the association of saintly person and devotees, one should worship the Lord, hear the glories of the Lord with faith, glorify the transcendental qualities and activities of the Lord, always meditate on the Lord's lotus feet, and worship the Lord of the Lord, and worship the deity of the Lord strictly according to the injunctions of the Shastra and Guru.
Okay, so Prahlad Maharaj recommended them performance of bhakti yoga in the previous verse. Now he describes the various angas of the bhakti. Right? So, bhakti begins by rendering service to bona fide spiritual master. One should offer everything one has to the spiritual master. Right? There is a... Prabhupada also says in the purport, second paragraph, in the middle of the second paragraph, Prabhupada says, everyone had his life, his wealth, his intelligence. You see, in the middle of the second paragraph. And his words, and all of them should be offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the via medium of the spiritual master. Everything should be offered to the spiritual master as a matter of duty, but the offering should be made to the spiritual master with heart and soul, not artificially to gain material prestige. Right? So there was a disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, Bhakti Ranjan Jagbandhu Prabhu. You see, he was the one who made the first big temple, Magh Bazar, Gaudiya Math, you know, marble. That was a big, opulent temple in those days. You know, it was considered a great monumental. It was made by complete marble. So, he actually offered practically everything he had, including his services. You know, he saw each and every detail, offered everything he has. And anyone who would any time say, you know, that you have done so much service, you have offered everything. He said, no. Everything belonged to my spiritual master only. I have not offered anything. You know, he was convinced of that fact, that actually everything belongs to him and I have not done anything. It just belonged to him, so it is being used for fulfilling his desire. So, great conviction, great sadhu he was. And Bhaktisena Thakur established his samadhi in that temple, Baghbajar Gaudiya Math. I had the opportunity to visit twice actually. Calcutta, near the Gaudiya Math is also ISKCON Food for Life Center. So, I had to go to help them in the kitchen. So, the devotees took me to Baghbajar Gaudiya Math also. There is a samadhi mandir of Bhakti Ranjan Jagbandhu Prabhu. Right? A very shining example of who offered everything he had to spiritual master, and he would never accept single credit also, you know. And every year his disappearance day is celebrated in a big way in that temple, the devotees told. Right. So therefore, this is one of the very important angas of bhakti. And then after offering everything, one should actually sangena sadhu bhaktanam ishvara aradhane nicha. One should, with the loving devotees, serve the Lord, hear about Him, perform kirtan, right? Very simple activities. And then the Prahlad Maharaj says, then surely one will develop attraction, loving attraction to the Supreme Lord. The ultimate goal of the life will be achieved 100%. Right? Like that. To text 32. Hari Sarveshu Bhuteshu Bhagavan Asta Ishvara Iti Bhutani Manasa Kamaste Sadhu Manayet.
One should always remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead in His localized representation as the Paramatma, who is situated in the core of every living entity's heart. Thus, one should offer respect to every living entity according to that living entity's position or manifestation.
Right, so one should offer respect to all living entities. The Lord is again, remember, now it is 28 to 33, Prahlad Maharaj is again recommending them performance of Bhagavad Dharma. And previously also when he was recommending, he told them that actually Lord is there within the heart, there is no impediment to worship Him, but He is there everywhere also. Right? Remember? So you see that there is the teaching which He gave are closely related to what He is teaching them now also. Right? Because He actually wants to convince them. You know, there is one small difference between preaching and teaching. You know, teaching, you tell the facts and everything, this is what it is, you know, and then you leave it over there. But in preaching, you want that person to get the conviction. Therefore, you have to give many analogies, examples, and bring that point, hammer that point 100 times, you know, whatever. You want to convince him to follow. While teaching, right, you just tell and then, well, whether that person follows or not, joke karega, you know, wo bharega, you know, chhod do usko, kind of, you know. But the preaching means then you have to make sure that the person follows what I am, the point which I am trying to make. You know, that he is actually convinced of it and ready to act upon it, right? While in teaching, you know, why, you know, baad mein lab mein aayega, nahi aayega, idhar padha diya, you know, kind of. So that's therefore Prahlad Maharaj is actually, if you see preaching, he wants to again emphasize. There are many things he tells them again. You know, he wants to again. He will now bring the point of after some time that the falsity of the, you know, family life and all the material enjoyment which he already hammered them, again he brings that back, you know, to fully convince them to follow. Right? So, in the mind, one should always be respectful to everyone. Even Vishwanath Thakur has said that if there are some devotees of bad conduct, right, one should not closely associate with them. closely associate with them, right? But still one should respect them, right? They can be seen, respected and served, he says, without closely associating. It is not that he is a person of a devotee who is chanting the holy names. He has a bad conduct. Right? He can be seen, he can be served, and this way he can be respected. You can serve him, no harm. But you don't closely associate with him. You don't accept teachings from him. Association means to accept actually someone's teachings in one sense. That's the true meaning of association. Right? Association means when you accept something. Okay, 33. Evam nirjita shadvargaya kriyate bhakti rishvare vasudeve bhagavati yaya samlabhyate rati.
By these activities, as mentioned above, one is able to cut down the influence of the enemies, namely lust, anger, greed, illusion, madness and jealousy, and when thus situated, one can render service to the Lord. In this way, one surely attains the platform of loving service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Okay. So, after telling him that how, you know, with the association of devotees, hear, chant, right, perform the angas of bhakti, Prahlad Maharaj simultaneously last verse is offer respect to all living entities. Right? Because otherwise we may commit offense actually. If we do not see the Lord's presence everywhere, we may actually commit some offenses. Therefore, in order to be free, one has to understand that the Lord is present everywhere, and thus one should offer due respect to every living entity. Right? We just want to discuss one example. Even if a person is a bad conduct devotee, should also be offered respect, but in a particular way. Thus, in this way, by executing devotional service in this way, one will surely attain the platform of loving service. Ya samlabhyate ratihi. Guru text 34. Nishamyakarmanigunanatulyan Viryani Lila Tanubhi Kritani Yadati Harshot Pulakashrugad Gadam Protkanta Udgayati Roti Nityati.
One who is situated in devotional service is certainly the controller of his senses and thus he is a liberated person. When such a liberated person, the pure devotee, hears of the transcendental qualities and activities of the Lord's incarnations for the performance of various pastimes, his hair stands on end on his body, tears fall from his eyes, and in his spiritual realization, his voice falters. Sometimes he very openly dances, sometimes he sings loudly, and sometimes he cries. Thus he expresses his transcendental jubilation.
Okay, so now Prahlad Maharaj, after recommending them to perform Bhagavad Dharma or Bhakti Yoga to attain Rati, now describes in two verses the symptoms of Rati. So these 34 and 35 describe symptoms of Rati. Yes. You are saying offering, principle of offering respect. Principle of offering respect is not mentioned. Anga of bhakti is described in this verse, 30-31. Right? So here, saying actually this is Well, I don't know if you can count it as angad or bhakti as such, because this is while rendering this angad or bhakti, one should also see the presence of the Lord everywhere and thus not commit any offenses. Right? So this is one should have this advanced vision also. Right? So I'm not sure whether this verse comes under the angad or bhakti. I said verse 30 and 31 describe the angad or bhakti. These two verses. Fine. So like that. Okay, so now 34 and 35 describes the symptoms of rati, or when one person has developed loving attraction toward the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Nishamya, hearing of karmani, gunan and viryani, three things. Vishwanath Thakur says, when a devotee hears of various karmanis or activities like Krishna stealing milk and yogurt, running away in fear, and of his various qualities, which is affection for the devotees, Krishna's four qualities are mentioned in one verse of Chaitanya Charitamrita, right? Which is Bhakta Vassal Kritagya Samarth Vadanyai. These qualities specially endear him to the devotees. Right? Bhakta Vassal, affection for the devotees, Kritagya, gratitude, Samarth, capable of giving reward, and Vadanyai, magnanimous. So when a devotee remembers this Gunan, which are Atulyan and Viryani, he's killing the various demons, lifting over the hill, etc. When a person hears of all these Lord's activities, qualities and his prowess, then he actually manifests the symptoms of Rati as mentioned. Right? Guru text 35. Yada graha grast ivakochid dasate. Akrandhate dhyayati vandate janam. Mahushu sanvakti hare jagatpate. Narayaneti atmamatir gatatrapa.
When a devotee becomes like a person haunted by a ghost, he laughs and very loudly chants about the qualities of the Lord. Sometimes he sits to perform meditation and he offers respects to every living entity, considering him a devotee of the Lord. Constantly breathing very heavily, he becomes careless of social etiquette and loudly chants like a madman, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, O my Lord, O Master of the Universe.
Okay, so Prahlad Maharaj says, the person who's developed the attraction, he sometimes looks like a graha-grast person, a person who has been haunted. Right, or Krishna Graha, like that. Guru text 36. Tadapuman mukta samasta bandhanas. Tadbhava bhavanukritashaya kriti. Dagda bijanushayo mahiyasa bhakti prayogena samitya dhokshajam.
The devotee is then freed from all material contamination because he constantly thinks of the Lord's pastimes and because his mind and body have been converted to spiritual qualities. Because of his intense devotional service, his ignorance, material consciousness and all kinds of material desires are completely burnt to ashes. This is the stage at which one can achieve the shelter of the Lord's lotus feet.
Okay, so after one attains Rati, Prahlad Maharaj says actually in that stage one meets the Supreme Lord directly. Bhakti prayogena samitya dhokshajam. One actually have a direct meeting with the Supreme Lord. Okay. So, Prabhupada says, advancement in Krishna consciousness is very powerful. This is the middle of the purport. And therefore, even during this life, such a devotee has achieved the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. This transcendental ecstatic existence of a devotee was completely exhibited by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In this regard, Srila Madhvacharya says, the ecstatic condition of devotional service was completely exhibited by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who sometimes danced, sometimes cried, sometimes sang, sometimes remained silent, and sometimes chanted the holy name of the Lord. This is the perfect spiritual science. Guru text 37. Adhokshajalambamihashubhatmana Sharirinasam smriti chakrashatanam Tad brahma nirvana sukham vidurbudhas Tad brahma tato bhajadvam hridaye hridishwaram.
The real problem of life is the repetition of birth and death, which is like a wheel rolling repeatedly up and down. This wheel, however, completely stops when one is in touch with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, by the transcendental bliss realized from constant engagement in devotional service, one is completely liberated from material existence. All learned men know this. Therefore, my dear friends, O sons of Asuras, immediately begin meditating upon and worshipping the super soul within everyone's heart.
Okay, so in this way, again Prahlad Maharaj is giving, he's actually imploring them, right? Tato bhajadvam hride hridishwaram. Therefore, understanding this, please begin worshipping the Supreme Lord within your heart. But he says herein, it said that in between, after hearing the after Prahlad Maharaj, the children kind of ask him, is it not that the happiness of Brahman is well known the highest goal of life? Right? So Prahlad Maharaj says, yes, yes, that's true. But that Brahman Nirvana Sukh, Tad Brahma Nirvan Sukham Vidur Buddhas, that is actually included in meeting the Supreme Lord. Right? So Prahlad Maharaj described that the highest goal of Bhagavad Dharma will be what? Bhakti Prayogen will lead to Samitya Dhokshajam in 36. In this way, Bhakti will bring you to the point of meeting the Supreme Lord directly. Right? And you have achieved the final goal. But they said, look, we heard that Brahman Nirvana Sukh is the final goal. Prahlad Maharaj said, yes, he says, right. That's right. But that Sukh is included in meeting the Supreme Lord. Rather, it will be explained, there is unlimitedly greater happiness in being directly in touch with the Lord. Okay? By having feelings of possessiveness in one of the transcendental mellows, where Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya or Madhurya, having feelings of possessiveness. So these feelings of possessiveness are very important. Okay? So we had discussed earlier also once. Unless we have feelings of possessiveness, we will not be able to deeply appreciate the pastimes of the Lord. Right? Because we will see, I have heard it so many times. Right? But when there are feelings of, just like once one devotee was there, he said, look, you come see, you know, how my grand son sings the Narsingh Aarti, he has taken the video of it. I said, look, I have some other service to do. He said, just 2 minutes, it's too sweet, you know, to resist. And he had shown it to so many people, you know, and he wanted to show it again and again. Right? But I was not very interested somehow, you know. So why? Because he has a feeling of possessiveness for his grandson. Well, I have no feeling of such possessiveness, right? So when there is a feeling of possessiveness, one has a loving attraction, right? So he said, but feeling of possessiveness for the Lord, that's a very high thing. He said, how the feeling of possessiveness are developed for the Lord is actually by developing feelings of possessiveness for the mission of the spiritual master. When a disciple possesses the mission of the spiritual master, you know, and dedicates himself in serving that, having a feeling of possessiveness that this is my mission, somehow I have to do everything, right, in order to serve that mission. That feeling of possessiveness will bring a person to having a feeling of possessiveness for the Supreme Lord. And that will lead to a deep appreciation of the pastimes of Krishna. Right? Vishnu Thakur gives the example. He says, I'll just read 37. He says, there is a natural happiness on seeing the moon. And if someone sees the moon, which gives bliss and good fortune, one feels happy, right? But there is a millions of times more bliss on seeing one's own son, right? Even though the son may be lame, blind or deaf, you know, even the son has a, you know, many shortcomings, still there is a more happiness the parents feel on seeing their son than in just seeing the moon, because there is happiness seeing the moon, but there is no possessiveness, right? So he shows that how feelings of possessiveness for the Lord, right, if one cultivates that feeling by having possessiveness of spiritual master mission, then one will experience unlimited transcendental bliss. Right? That's the point being made. And that Brahma Nirvana Sukh, which is mentioned in the scripture, it is a small part of it. Right? This is a verse quoted from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu in the purport. Brahmanando bhavedesha chet parardha guni krita naiti bhakti sukham bodhe paramanu tulamapi. If Brahmananda, the bliss of merging in the Brahman effulgence, were multiplied 100 trillion times, it would still not equal an atomic fragment of an ocean of the transcendental bliss felt in devotional service. Koti prayaso surabalaka harer upasane sveridhi chidravatsata. Swastyatmana sakyurashesha dehinam samanyata kim vishayopapadane.
Oh my friends, sons of the Asuras, the Supreme Personality of Godhead in His super soul feature always exists within the covers of the hearts of all living entities. Indeed, He is the well-wisher and friend of all living entities, and there is no difficulty in worshipping the Lord. Why then should people not engage in His devotional service? Why are they so addicted to unnecessarily producing artificial paraphernalia for sense gratification?
Right? So Prahlad Maharaj is presenting his point very strongly. Again he is saying, Koti Prayaso. He has said so many times, you know, it's the most easiest thing to worship Krishna, the sublime, easiest process. Now he is saying, Koti Prayaso. Right? What is the difficulty? Koti Prayaso, Asur Balaka Harir Upasane, Sohridi Chidravatsata. What is the difficulty in worshipping Krishna? He is right here within the heart. Right? What is the difficulty? Like Prabhupada would often also, you know, use this phrase, what is the difficulty, you know, in executing Krishna consciousness or executing some service which Prabhupada has given. So if you see, Shruti Kirti Prabhu's book is entitled, What is the Difficulty? Shruti Kirti Prabhu has written a book about Prabhupada, his memories, entitled, What is the Difficulty? Right? So by Prabhupada or even Prahlad Maharaj saying, What is the difficulty? By their asking, What is the difficulty? They remove all the difficulties. You know, their words have that power. You know, because difficulty, when we say, conditioned soul has many difficulties, right? Actually, but all these difficulties are conceptions of the mind, basically. The mind perceives so many difficulties in this world. So when the devotee says, what is the difficulty? You know, then all the difficulties are washed away by their, you know, by their strong words and the conviction that what is the difficulty? Actually, there is no difficulty. You know, your mind is simply imagining so many difficulties, but there are no impediments, no difficulties. Right? So in series of verses, Prahlad Maharaj, again Prahlad Maharaj implores them that give up all kinds of hope for material enjoyment. Right? Just like here, he said, why people are still addicted to unnecessary arrangements, you know, for sense gratification? Samanyata kim vishyopapadane. What are the use of activities of sense enjoyment? Again, Prahlad Maharaj now comes back to the point of saying, what is the use of all the futile endeavors? Right? What is the difficulty in executing bhakti? And what is the difficulty in executing bhakti? And what is the gain in all the sense pleasures? Okay? Again, a very... it's a fact actually, because the words of devotees like Prahlad Maharaj and the words of devotees like Prabhupada, when they say, what is the difficulty? It gives us conviction that there is no difficulty. Yes, actually. You know? Their asking gives us the conviction that actually there is no difficulty. I was just simply imagining. Right? So therefore, this question kicks off all the difficulties imagined by our mind. What is the difficulty? Right? I said, no difficulty. Difficulties are gone now. Right? Like that. So Prabhupada says, the Lord is compared to the sky within the heart. Hridi chitravasyata. Right? Upasane sve hridi chitravasyata. The Lord is compared to sky because the sky is vast yet within the reach of all. Not only of human beings but even of the animals. So it's one of the glory of the Lord actually that He is great like a sky, but yet within easily approachable. Usually great people are not easily approachable, you know. You have to seek appointment and wait for 6 months, whatever. You know. So, but the sky is great and yet within everyone's reach. Right? So, a devotee, once we were celebrating, just mentioning a small point, we were celebrating Krishna Chandra Prabhu's 50th birthday. You know Krishna Chandra Prabhu, you all know him? One devotee is saying, actually he is like a sky, you know. He is very great actually in his devotion and service, but anyone can approach him anytime. You have seen, among the congregation who know him, he is very easily approachable person. Anyone can ask him for some guidance, counseling, very easily approachable person. Right? So that like a person is glorified in that sense. This person is very great, but anyone can feel free to approach him and take guidance, you know. So then a person is glorified, he's like a sky, you know. is a great but easily approachable. That quality exists in abundance in the Supreme Lord. So Prabhupada says, continues in the purport, the 7th or 8th line, the Lord is so friendly to the living entity that he remains within the heart, so that one can always contact him without difficulty. One can do simply by devotional service, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Pada, Sevanam. As soon as one hears of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna Kirtan, one immediately comes in touch with the Lord. Right? And Prabhupada writes these very beautiful words, very famous. Someone reads this, just the last 6-7 lines of this paragraph. Therefore, there is no difficulty.
Therefore, there is no difficulty in coming in contact with the Supreme Lord, Koti Prayasah. On the other hand, going to hell requires great endeavor. If one wants to go to the hell by illicit sex, meat eating, gambling and intoxication, he must acquire so many things. For illicit sex, he must arrange for money for brothels. For meat eating, he must arrange for many slaughter houses. For gambling, he must arrange for casinos and hotels, and for intoxication, he must open many breweries. Clearly, therefore, if one wants to go to hell, he must endure very much. But if he wants to return home back to Godhead, there is no difficult endeavor.
Yes, right? So it's a very proper portrait. That is, there is so much endeavor in going to hell. But in serving Krishna, there is not much endeavor. And Vishwanath Thakur very beautifully says, he says, look, the object of service is always there with you. You know, you don't have to search him. Like a person may have to search his fans, whatever. He said, object of your service is always with you. And you are the person who will serve, right? You are there. Your object of service is there. And he says, the main paraphernalia for serving the Lord is tongue and ears that are always available with you wherever you go. He said, what else, you know? The Lord is available, object of worship is available, paraphernalia for worship is available. So where is the difficulty? You don't have to find anything outside. Let's worship him by hearing and chanting. Right? So very beautifully Vishwanath Thakur has put. There is no botheration. The easiest thing to do.
Raya kalatram pashavasutadayo graha mahi kunjar kosha bhuyata kunjar kosha bhutaya sarve artha kama shan bhangura yusha kurvanti martasya kiyat priyam chalat.
One's riches, beautiful wife and female friends, one's sons and daughters, one's residence, one's domestic animals like cows, elephants and horses, one's treasury, economic development and sense gratification. Indeed, even the lifetime in which one can enjoy all these material opulences are certainly temporary and flickering. Since the opportunity of human life is temporary, what benefit can these material opulences give to a sensible man who has understood himself to be eternal?
Right. So Prahlad Maharaj's main point is kurvanti martasya kiyat priyam chala. All these flickering things, how will they, what benefit they will give to the eternal soul? Right. So Prabhupada says in the 6th-7th line of the purport, everyone has knowledge of huge empires throughout the history of the world, the Roman Empire, Mughal Empire, British Empire and so on. But all the societies engaged in such economic development, sarve artha kama, have been frustrated by the laws of nature through periodic wars, pestilence, famine, and so on. Thus, all their attempts have been flickering and temporary. Therefore, it is said, kurvanti martasya kiyat priya chala. All such positions of economic development, although created with great endeavor and hardship, are vanquished very soon. Therefore, they have been described as chala. Okay, text 40.
Evam hi lokah kratubhi krita ami. Shyashnavashatishayana nirmala. Tasmad drishta shuta dushanam param. Bhaktyoktayesham bhajatatma labdhaye.
It is learned from Vedic literature that by performing great sacrifices, one may elevate himself to the heavenly planets. However, although life on the heavenly planets is hundreds and thousands of times more comfortable than life on earth, the heavenly planets are not pure nirmalam or free from the taint of material existence. The heavenly planets are also temporary and therefore they are not the goal of life. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, however, has never been seen or heard to possess inebriety. Consequently, for your own benefit and self-realization, you must worship the Lord with great devotion as described in the revealed scriptures.
Okay, so he says nothing of this world, you know, one should not waste time. Last verse is, none of the objects of this world will satisfy. It's all flickering. Prahlad Maharaj says now, so the children may say, you know, but we have heard the glories of heavenly planets. Alma says, look, there things are maybe million times better, but seeing they are all temporary. Right? Therefore, nothing temporary can be the goal of eternal soul. That's the point. Right? Nothing temporary can be the goal of eternal soul. And they are not pure over there. Right? They are not pure over there. Swarga is also impure because there is envy and competition in the Swarga Loka. It's not Nirmalam. So they're impure because of this lower qualities and they are also temporary. Therefore, they cannot be also the goal.
Karoti ato viparyasam amogham vindate phalam.
A materialistic person thinking himself very advanced in intelligence continually acts for economic development. But again and again, as enunciated in the Vedas, he is frustrated by material activities, either in this life or in the next. Indeed, the results one obtains are inevitably the opposite of those one desires.
So, Prahlad Maharaj is saying, one may perform lot of endeavor to obtain various pleasures in this world. However, kroti ato viparyasam, opposite will happen. Amogham vindate phalam, for sure opposite will happen in this world. So the Lord is described as amogha, right? Who never fails in his prowess, right? Amogha. Or who never fails to protect his devotee. Just like the Lord is amogha, who never fails to protect his devotee, material nature is amogha. She never fails to thrash the non-devotees. Said no one will be spared. Material nature is also amogha. She will surely thrash all one's desire to enjoy in this world. Amogham word has been used. Kroti apo ato viparyasam amogham vindate phalam. Surely opposite is attained in this world. Right? Like that. So Prabhupada says, no one has ever achieved the result he desired from material activities. On the contrary, everyone has been frustrated again and again. Right?
सुखाय दुख मोक्षाय संकल्प इह कर्मिण सदाप्नोति हया दुखम अनीहाय सुखावृता.
In this material world, every materialist desires to achieve happiness and diminish his distress, and therefore he acts accordingly. Actually, however, one is happy as long as one does not endure for happiness. As soon as one begins his activities for happiness, his condition of distress begins.
Okay, so everyone's plan in this world is sukhaya and dukha mokshaya, to reduce unhappiness and increase the happiness. Sankalpa iha karmina, this is their desire. Right? What is the maximum happiness? Only when a person is desiring, that is the maximum happiness. when he's just contemplating, yes, I will get this, you know, this opportunity or this, right? I'll get this pleasure, I'll marry a very nice girl who will serve me. He said, yeah, this is their happiness now. This is the maximum, you know. When actual things will start, then everything will be ruined, you know, you will realize. So only your imagination is the peak of happiness in the material world. Like that. Text 43. Again, Prabhupada quotes the last 7 or 8 lines of the purport. The Vedas enjoin that one should not try to increase happiness or decrease distress, for this is futile. Tasseva hetu prayateto kovido. One should work for self-realization. Without endeavor, one can get the amount of happiness and distress for which he is destined, and one cannot change it. Actually, this point doesn't go across our head. Somehow, you know, we cannot believe that I have gained all this because I have worked so hard. How in this life can a person attain this indriya sukh without even endeavoring for it? How will that happen? He said, look, you just do the basic minimum and it will come. For sure it will come. You know, because whatever you perform previously, those will sure to deliver the result. You know. No, you are thinking, I will work very hard, you know, and then I will get a degree, and then he said, even if you don't get the degree, if it is destined, it will come. We see in this world, there are many people who don't have degree, there are many people who not study. But they get the sense objects. So your effort will not cause it. Previous good result will bring it. You know. But now in this lifetime, don't waste. It's a fact actually. We can't imagine. Right? Prabhupada would often say, Prabhupada said, look, these materialistic people have worked very hard to create a park. But they are working hard in the office. They are not enjoying. And we are enjoying the park. You know. It's a fact, you know. So look, without working hard, you know, they are thinking that we will one day enjoy and they die. They keep working hard. Thinking the hard work will bring enjoyment. But no. You know, they foolishly keep working hard. One should work hard to cultivate Krishna consciousness. That is the point. The enjoyment due will surely come without working hard. Will surely come. Although this point doesn't go across materialistic people who think that their hard work is only bringing them enjoyment. So no, absolutely not. What you indriya sukha is destined for this life by the previous karma. You will get it for sure. Therefore, don't waste time working hard. Don't waste time in working hard, just focus on devotional service. At this point, one has to be convinced about it actually. Right? One has to be convinced about it. Yes. We have to complete the chapter, but quick.
Prabhuji, connecting this point to the third verse from yesterday's chapter, the same point was mentioned that just as distress comes automatically, happiness also arises. But from the Mahabharata and from astrology, we get a slightly different understanding. Like, for instance, when Maharaj Pandu was in the forest, he had become elevated to the stage of becoming a Brahma Rishi. And it was destined that he would have sons, but he had been cursed. So in his mind, he was thinking that destiny is there, but without suitable endeavor with destiny, one does not acquire results. So from my side, I should make the endeavor to have sons. That was his thought process. And even in astrology, generally, for instance, if Venus is prominent, it is set in a person's chart.
Yes, so therefore, the point is, you just have to do the minimum endeavor from your side. Don't think that your endeavor will bring it. Therefore, the endeavor has to be minimum. Right? He said, look, you... Nahi suptasya simmasya pravashanti mrigena mrige khaga. Said, if the simma thing I am destined to get, a lion thing, right, destined to get the prey will come and enter my mouth. Nahi suptasya simmasya pravadanti mrige khaga. Right? Yes. Okay, fine. So, at least you have to make the effort of, catching him and eating him up. Minimum effort. You say, that I will go through. So, you don't have to, destiny will bring him to you, but you have to pounce and, eat him up. If you're not destined, you search throughout the jungle, maybe unsuccessful. Therefore, he's saying, look, today, you're destined, you will get it. But some effort is required. Therefore, we are saying minimum effort. That's the point. Minimum effort. Don't think your effort will bring. The main, your destiny will bring the sense objects. You just keep the minimum effort. Okay? Minimum effort is defined by simha has to just now pounce. There's a look. By your destiny, this mriga, this khaga, has come near to you. You have to pounce and eat him up. Only that much effort. You chant Hare Krishna, wait here. If you're destined, someone will come your way. But you have to catch and eat him up. For there is a verse like that. Okay, so like that. Okay, 43. Kaman kamyate kamyer yadartham iha purushak savedehastu parakyo manguro yatyupaiticha.
A living entity desires comforts for his body and makes many plans for this purpose. But actually the body is the property of others. Indeed, the perishable body embraces the living entity and then leaves him aside.
Right, so all this again, Prahlad Maharaj is saying, look, don't waste time in all these endeavors. Right? Sa vai dehas tu parakyo. Again, Narad Muni has also used the word. This deha is parakyo. It belongs to others. Whom it belongs to? It belongs to many people. This body is a disputed property. There are many claimants, right, fighting proprietorship over the body. Therefore, this body is parakyo. And body refers to, body is acronym for birth, old age, disease, and yamraj. Body. Kimmu vevahitapatya
Dharagara dhanadaya Rajya kosha gajamatya Bhritya apta mamaspada.
Since the body itself is ultimately meant to become stool or earth, what is the meaning of the paraphernalia related to the body, such as wives, residences, wealth, children, relatives, servants, friends, kingdoms, treasuries, animals and ministers? they are also temporary. What more can you say about this?
He said the body will become stool one day. Then what would he speak of the paraphernalia of the body? You know, he said what attachment. So if you see the series of these verses, Prahlad Maharaj wants to actually break the hope of enjoyment in this material world. Right? As I said, that one may not obtain material objects for enjoyment, but the hope for material enjoyment doesn't go somehow. This is very difficult to break. The hope to enjoy in this world doesn't go. Even the very poor, pauper, you don't have anything, they also have great hope for enjoyment. For Prahlad Maharaj wants to break the hope for enjoyment. When that hope is gone, then, you know, one's Krishna consciousness starts, you know, becomes solidifying, you know. The hope has to go. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj, again and again, you know, hits on that point. What enjoyment is there? Right?
किमेतरात्मनस्तुच्छ सहदेहेन नश्वरे अनर्थैरर्थ संकाशैर नित्यानन्दरसोददे.
All this paraphernalia is very near and dear as long as the body exists, but as soon as the body is destroyed, all things related to body are also finished. Therefore, actually one has nothing to do with them, but because of ignorance, one accepts them as valuable. Compared to the ocean of eternal happiness, they are most insignificant. What is the use of such insignificant relationships for the eternal living being?
Okay, so, kim etair atmanas tuchhe, all the sense gratification and everything, he said, what? It's nothing, you know. Why should be concerned about, you know, one small drop when I am telling you of Nityananda Rasodade? You know, one flickering drop, one drop will come and it will also just fall off, you know. So, Prabhupada Maharaj is saying, just look, you put so much endeavor hoping for a drop of sense enjoyment, and when you get it, slips off. What use spending whole life, you know? You obtained a drop of some pleasure and that too fell off from your hand. I am giving you eternal ocean of bliss, Nityananda Rasodade. How can you be so foolish, you know, to endeavor for a drop of it? So Prahlad Maharaj is hitting on that point. Prabhupada says, Krishna consciousness, devotional service to Krishna is the ocean of eternal bliss. In comparison to this eternal bliss, the so-called happiness of society, friendship and love is simply useless and insignificant. One should therefore not be attached to the temporary things. One should take to Krishna consciousness and become eternally happy. Okay, so basically one important point I want to make here is, in this world, yes, you know, society, friendship, love is important on the bodily platform, you know, kind of, you know, have a stable life, there is a good social dealings, you know, etc. But that no one can get that perfectly. There's always dissatisfaction over there. One may try to work out the things that one may have a stable material life, which is a varnashrama, basically a stable platform. But for sure, there will be many gaps. One will not obtain what he wants. What should one do? One doesn't waste time over there. That's the whole thing. Doesn't waste time over there. Take that as an opportunity to transcend that. Take a spiritual platform. View things from a spiritual perspective. Right? So I just want to highlight this important point. It's like someone as His Holy Radhana Swami Maharaj, you know, when we are not having a stable family relationship, you know, there is a conflict between husband and wife, etc. I said, okay, you know, you can go to the counselor, some marriage counselor, some others, try to sort it out. But things doesn't get resolved. Then what to do? On a spiritual platform, transcend it. Understand that Krishna wants me to now transcend this need. There is a need of a stable social life, stable family life, you know, on a social platform. But social platform is not the, it's a temporary platform. Therefore, if you're not feeling, you know, you tried it, now transcend it. Take a spiritual perspective to transcend your social needs also. Right? So therefore, one should not miss upon a spiritual perspective. Material life, there will always be many unfulfilled things, you know. One can never perfect material life. Therefore, one little bit, you know, just do the needful minimum. Do the minimum, try to fix it, you know, something. If the solution works, fine. If it doesn't work, transcend it. That's the way actually everyone has to live. One has to gradually transcend all one's needs, actually. Right? And come to the spiritual platform. Right? Like that.
निरुप्यताम इहा स्वार्थ कियान देह भृतो सुरा निषेकादिषु अवस्थासु क्लिश्यमानस्य कर्मभिः.
माय डियर फ्रेंड्स, ओ सन्स ऑफ द असुराज, द लिविंग एंटिटी रिसीव्स डिफरेंट टाइप्स ऑफ बॉडीज अकॉर्डिंग टू हिज प्रीवियस फ्रूटिव एक्टिविटीज. दस इज सीन to suffer with reference to his particular body in all conditions of life, beginning with his infusion into the womb. Please tell me, therefore, after full consideration, what is the living entity's actual interest in fruitive activities, which results in hardship and misery?
So, basically, Prahlad Maharaj is saying that one should see the falsity in the so-called promises of pleasure in this world. Right? So there are, in this world, you see the whole advertisement industry or any sense objects you see, it gives some promise of pleasure. Right? There is some promise of pleasure. So therefore Prahlad Maharaj is saying, be intelligent, see the falsity in that promise of pleasure. And the greatest false promise is actually the face of a woman. The face of a woman promises a great pleasure. But Prahlad Maharaj says, see the falsity. It's not that promise is completely false. Right? So one should be intelligent to see that all the various promises of pleasure are false.
कर्मण्ये आरभते देही देहेन आत्मानुवर्तिना कर्मभिस्तनु ते देहम उभयम् तो अविवेकता.
The living entity who has received his present body because of his past fruitive activity may end the results of his actions in this life, but this does not mean that he is liberated from bondage to material bodies. The living entity receives one type of body, and by performing actions with that body, he creates another. Thus, he transmigrates from one body to another through repeated birth and death because of his gross ignorance.
Okay, so Prahlad Maharaj is just saying that in a particular body, one may be reaping the fruits of previous activities, like in Swarga, but just by reaping the fruit, one doesn't destroy all actions. One continuously creates action and then further creates new and a newer body. One continuously sows the seed for other bodies. Right? One should stop that. One should not remain in ignorance. 48.
तस्मादार्थश्च कामश्च धर्माशायदपाश्रयः भजता अनीह आत्मानम् अनीहं हरिमीश्वरम्.
The four principles of advancement in spiritual life, dharma, artha, kama and moksha, all depend on the disposition of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, my dear friends, follow in the footsteps of devotees without desire, fully depend upon the disposition of the Supreme Lord, worship Him, the Super Soul in devotional service.
Okay, so then don't bother for dharma, artha, kama, moksha. Lord will provide, right, whatever is needed. You, without desiring them, without material desire, bhajata aniha, without any desire, atmanam, the Lord within your heart. Right? So after showing the falsity of material happiness and falsity in the material promises, Prahlad Maharaj is now inspiring them again to worship the Lord within their heart. 49.
Sarvesham api bhutanam हरिर आत्मेश्वरा प्रियः भूतैर महद्भिः सौकृतैः कृतानां जीव संगता.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead Hari is the soul and the super soul of all living entities. Every living entity is a manifestation of his energy in terms of the living soul and the material body. Therefore, the Lord is the most dear and He is the supreme controller.
Okay, again, Prahlad Maharaj, if you see, in the beginning of the sixth, second verse, he had told that the Lord is Priya, Atmeshprava and Suhrit. He is very dear, very close and well-wisher, right? We discussed these three things. Same three things that he is saying in the text 49. Therefore, please worship the Supreme Lord. He is very dear, he is very close, and he is the well-wisher. And you, can you see all the three words? Where is the word Suhrit? Which word represents Suhrit? No, Priya is three things. Priya, Atmeshwara, Suhrit were used in 6.2. So Priya and Atmeshwara are directly used. Which line, which word describes the Lord is Suhrit? How Hari is Suhrit? Sarva Amangal Hare, yes, in one sense. Hari, the meaning of word Hari is Sarva Amangal Hare. One who steal everything inauspicious. Oh, you know, I am saying Hari can also refer to Suhrit. Right? Hari Atmeshwara Priya, same as Priya Atmeshwara Suhrit. Right? The Lord being Hari, steal away everything inauspicious. Therefore, He is the most, you know, well-wisher in that sense. Okay, we go to text 50. देवोऽसुरो मनुष्यो वा यक्षो गंधर्व एव वा भजन् मुकुन्द चरणं स्वस्तिमान् स्याद् यथा वयम्.
इफ अ डेमिगॉड, डीमन, ह्यूमन बीइंग, यक्ष, गंधर्व और एनी वन विद इन दिस यूनिवर्स रेंडर्स सर्विस टू द लोटस फीट ऑफ मुकुंद हु कैन डिलीवर लिबरेशन, ही इज एक्चुअली सिचुएटेड इन द मोस्ट ऑस्पिशियस कंडीशन ऑफ लाइफ. Exactly like us, the Mahajanas, headed by Prahlad Maharaj.
So Prahlad Maharaj, by his living example, requested his friends to engage in devotional service. Nalam dujattam devatvam vishitvam vasuratmaja panin प्रेरणाया मुकुंदस्य न वृत्तम न बहुज्ञता न दानम न तपोनेज्य न
na shaucham na vratani cha priyate amalaya bhaktya harir anyad vidambanam.
My dear friends, O sons of the demons, you cannot please the Supreme Personality of Godhead by becoming perfect brahmanas, demigods or great saints, or by becoming perfectly good in etiquette or vast learning. None of these qualifications can awaken the pleasure of the Lord, nor by charity, austerity, sacrifice, cleanliness or vows one can satisfy the Lord. The Lord is pleased only if one has unflinching, unalloyed devotion to Him. Without sincere devotional service, everything is simply a show.
Okay, so Prabhupada says, without sincere devotional service, everything mentioned, you know, all this austerity, sacrifice, charity, study, is simply vidambanam, simply a show. So Prabhupada describes material elevation to life, second line, as a brahmana, demigod, rishi and so on are not causes for developing love of Godhead. But if one sincerely engages in the service of the Lord, his Krishna consciousness is complete.
Tato haro bhagavati bhaktim kuruta danava atma pammena sarvatra sarva bhutatman ishvare.
My dear friends, O sons of the demons, in the same favorable way that one sees himself and takes care of himself, take to devotional service to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is present everywhere as the super soul of all living entities.
Okay, so considering the Lord like one considers himself, if one takes care, please, tato haro bhagavati bhaktim kuruta danava, please therefore render devotional service to the Supreme Lord. 54. Datya yaksha rakshamsi striya shudra vrajaukasa khagamriga papa jiva santi hi achyutam gatah.
My friends, O sons of demons, everyone including you, the yakshas and rakshasas, the unintelligent women, shudras and coward men, the birds, the lower animals and the sinful living entities can revive his original eternal spiritual life and exist forever simply by accepting the principles of Bhakti Yoga.
Okay, so they will, by rendering devotional service, everyone can attain Achyutam Gataha, that destination from where no one falls down. And Prabhupada also comments on the word Achyut Gotra in the Prabhupada. Okay, the last. Etavaneva lokesmin pumsa swartha parasmrita ekanta bhaktir govinde yat sarvatra tadikshanam.
In this material world, to render service to the lotus feet of Govinda, the cause of all causes, and to see him everywhere is the only goal of life. This much alone is the ultimate goal of human life, as explained by all the revealed scriptures.
Okay, so ekanta bhaktir govinde yat sarvatra tadikshanam, render exclusive devotional service to Govinda while respecting everyone. You shouldn't say, I will only exclusively respect Krishna. No, you exclusively serve and devote yourself to Krishna while respecting his presence everywhere else. Right? So ekant and sarvatra, they are like two opposite words in the verse. So Prabhupada says, in this word, the word sarvatra tadikshanam describes the highest perfection of devotional service, in which one sees everything with reference to Govinda's activities. And Prabhupada quotes this verse, Narayanam ayam dhira pashyanti paramarthina jagat dhanma dhanmayam lubda kamuka kamini mayam. Right? A devotee sees everyone and everything in relationship with Narayan. Just as those who are greedy see everything as a source of money making, and those who are lusty see everything as being conducive to sex. Therefore the Prahlad Maharaj, in this way, Prabhupada calls him the most perfect devotees. Prahlad Maharaj, the most perfect devotee, conclude his teachings in this way. That be exclusively devoted to Krishna while offer respect to all the Lord's manifestations. Jai Granthara Srimad Bhagatam Ki Jai Srila Prahlad Maharaj Ki Jai Nitai Gaur Premanande Hare Krishna.